who did I hear shrieking delightfully after me, but my old friends Gowry and Tiggy, who I met ages ago in a tiny little hamlet that somehow managed to avoid eradication by dark wizards. But that's only because no one actually wants to go there.
Silence. Well, until someone coughed.
Tough crowd. Moving on, I was told by Gary and Tiggy that our savior had returned to us after a long and arduous absence, and that is something I had to see for myself.
He grinned down at me as I flailed, trying to move Terry's fat ass.
Sam, how lovely of you to make an appearance.
Things have certainly changed since last we met. Once you were on a quest to save a prince, and now you're tasked with saving the world. Talk about a promotion. How are you feeling tonight?
Like I'm being suffocated.
Fantastic. We have a saying where I'm from.
He strummed his lute again.
We travel far, we travel long. Stories told through ale and song.
Yay!
A man in the audience said.
Now we know my skills with the lute are unique.
Sal said, and I figured now was as good a time as any to let myself die.
My voice has been called melodious and on fleek. Now I shall sing you a song banned from all holy masses. Ladies and gentlemen, the Grand Prince of Varenya, I give you...
Dark wizards can kiss our asses.
Oh, no. I moaned. What?
What is this?
Justin growled at Gary.
I love everything about my life,
Gary breathed.
Hooray!
Diggy exclaimed. And Zao the Magnificent began to sing.
Once there was a country strong, the people most sweet and proud. They always figured right from wrong, and to a great king they bowed. Then there came the darkest day, from all of us this was taken. Shadows came and had their way and left us all a-shaken. But to them we say, dark wizards can kiss our asses, we'll stab 'em in the gut. Listen to me, lads and lasses, let's fuck them in the butt.
Wow, I can see why you like him.
Right?
Gary said gleefully. It's like he's from our dreams.
There was a boy of simple means, upon whose shoulders hopes were laid. More weight than on kings and queens, to him we looked and prayed. Called upon the hopes of men, he would need the help of dragons, of which it can be said again that all the rest are lagging.
Sam, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Can't barely breathe.
Yeah, he heard that.
And to evil we say, dark wizards can kiss our asses. We'll stab 'em in the gut. Listen to me, lads and lasses, let's fuck them in the butt.
People had started joining in on the chorus. I was having a terrible time.
The gods had a chosen one to represent us all. And If there's a time when he's truly done, the rest of us will fall. It's a good thing, then, that it rests on Sam, a boy who has become a wizard. He's the only one who'll give a damn and possibly conjure up a blizzard.
Oh, Ryan said, eyes glazing over as the chorus picked up again.
I'm not even doing anything.
I snapped at him.
Yeah,
but a blizzard? That's so hot. Please, Terry said with a sniff. It's not that great.
He's returned to us to save the world and give some docs the old what for. Knock 'em for a loop, causing 'em to swirl. Hear the people behind you, Sam, as they start to roar.
The crowd roared. Zal grinned. I punched Terry on the thigh. He grunted, but didn't move.
We ask of you to save us all. We're sorry for past transgressions. We'll be with you, Sam, in the brawl, acting out all our aggression. And to those bitches, we say...
I should have just stayed in the goddamn woods, I mumbled as the crowd sang loudly. Nah, I would have found you eventually. That sounded creepy. Or did it sound like, I love you? That's not a boner for you. I told Terry, it's for Ryan.
And alas, after a verse or six, we're coming to an end. Cheesy dicks and candlesticks, we're looking for our hearts to mend.
My eyes started to burn as the song slowed. As Al's voice broke just a little,
we turn to you, the boy we lost. Your body now littered with scars. We know what your bravery cost. For you we wish upon these stars. And we say, dark wizards can kiss our asses. We'll stab 'em in the gut. Listen to me, lads and lasses. Let's fuck them in the butt.
He finished with a flourish. Loud and raucous, the crowd crying out joy and pain, and happiness and sorrow. I saw tears in the faces of many, and as Terry finally stood, and I sucked in a full breath, I had to wipe my own eyes. Ryan was there next to me, his forehead pressed against mine, and he said,
"They hurt you. I know they did. And they don't deserve you. None of them do. Not after the way they treated you. But they need you, Sam, almost as much as I do. Because without you, we've lost. Believe in me. Because I've always believed in you. Even when I was at my angriest."
"You're so stupid," I muttered wetly. "I hate you so goddamn much. You're all manipulative, and I should curse you and then move far, far away." I felt his smile more than saw it.
"But you won't. I won't. Because you love me.
More than anything, I think." He laughed quietly, and I thought it the most wonderful sound I'd ever heard. I wonder when last he'd done that. Been carefree and happy. If you two are done being disgusting...
I need Sam.
Ryan sighed, but pulled away. Justin stood on the other side of the table, looking uncomfortable. I didn't have anything to do with that. I know, I'll deal with them later. I shot a glare at Tiggy and Gary, but they just waved cheekily back at me. Their deaths would be slow and painful. After I hugged them. I need you now. Justin, please, not in front of Ryan. You know how jealous he gets. Justin rolled his eyes. I need you to speak to them. To our people. They need to hear from you. They need to know that you forgive them. And if I don't? Speak or forgive? I shrugged, because it seemed to be the same. Then you don't? And they lose hope. They won't know what we do, that you'll fight for them until your last breath, that you'll do everything in your power to take away the shadows and bring them back into the light. I squinted at him, and how do you know I'll do that? He snorted. I know you, Sam, very well. Not carnally. That's only for my babe. Thank the gods for small favors. I don't. I'll say it. Say what? He looked as if you were about to take the hardest hit. It was not a flattering look.
You know... the thing.
What thing?
If it were possible. The holy shit, this shit hurts look deepened. You know... the thing, I gasped. You will? He nodded like it pained him. In front of everyone? I decided. In fact, you should stand on stage and say it, and then I'll believe you.
What are they talking about?
Terry asked Ryan. Honestly, I don't even ask questions about it anymore. It's easier that way, instead of knowing my ex-boyfriend and current boyfriend have a thing together. He frowned before turning to me. I don't like the sound of my own sentence. I patted his arm because he was special to me.
I can console you,
Terry said helpfully.
Do you want me to sit on you, like I did for Sam?
No. Thank you, though. It's very kind of you.
Anytime. And I mean that. Anytime.
I glared at him. I didn't know accountants were supposed to be devious.
Do you know many accountants?
Well, no.
Then shut up.
Do I have to do the thing? Justin groaned. Yes, on stage, in front of everyone, and that will help me decide if I want to give a big rousing speech that will inspire people generations to come. You know what? I've changed my mind. I don't want you to talk. I shrugged. Your loss. Damn it. Okay, fine, I'll do it. But then I will never do anything for you again. I grinned at him. We both know that's not true, but whatever you gotta tell yourself. He grumbled as he made his way back up on stage. I grabbed Ryan's hand and pulled him toward the opposite end of the table. Lady Tina, Vadoma, you're both looking... alive? Mom, Dad, I love your faces, so don't ever change them. Gary, Tiggy, your deaths will not be quick, and you will scream as I remove your intestines by attaching them to a winch and then turning said winch and pulling your guts out slowly. Kevin, you haven't got on my shit list in the last 20 minutes, so keep it that way and we'll be square.
He's such a whiny little bitch,
Gary said to Tiggy.
Right? Bitches be whining.
I smacked Gary on his left flank. Rude. Also, I need your help. I have to give a speech that will inspire generations of people, and I just came to the realization that I have a startling fear of public speaking. I need you to help me overcome that fear, and also co-write a speech with me. Ryan sighed, like the drama queen he was.
You're in luck. I like public speaking, because that means everyone's attention is on me, where it belongs.
And I write good speeches.
And I will fix your appearance, so people aren't put off by how you normally look. I mean, bring out your inner self for all the world to see.
How much time do we have? 3 days? I glanced back at Justin, who was walking up the steps onto the stage.
Probably 30 seconds.
They gaped at me. Justin is going to do the... He wooed me into this with promises that were like balm to my beleaguered soul.
Huh. Well, you're fucked.
This gonna be funny. Or sad.
One lesson I've always taught about public speaking is that you need to picture everyone in the audience naked.
I blinked, Oh, thank you. I suppose that could...
If it helps, I'm always naked.
And now I'm frightened again. You know what? Now that I think about it, I'm always naked too.
Tiggy, be naked?
My eyes widen because of the children.
No! Tiggy, be naked!
And he dropped his drawers before holding his hands above his head and crowing loudly.
He's so wonderful, Gary whispered to me.
We all are.
I put my face in my hands.
I'm hung,
Tiggy proclaimed loudly.
I taught him that, because it's true.
I'm so glad they're all back together again, I heard Mom say.
It was getting a little boring living in the refugee camp after our homes had been taken away from us by evil wizards,
Dad agreed. Justin cleared his throat loudly. The crowd fell silent again. Tiggy did not pull up his trousers. It was good to be home.
Thank you to Zal the Magnificent for that rousing rendition of...
whatever that was, Justin told the camp.
Truly. And since I now know who to blame for Cheesy Dicks and Candlesticks, I'm even more grateful for your presence.
Tiggy and Gary gulped audibly.
I've already said most of what I could say,
he continued.
And I hope you take my words to heart. You are not alone. We are not defeated. We will not bow down to the shadows that crawl along our feet. I promise you we will take back Ferenya.
The crowd cheered.
And now, I want to give the stage to someone who I think deserves our undivided attention.
He's gonna do it, I whispered fervently.
Someone who has sacrificed much for king and crown.
Oh my gods. Oh my gods. Oh my gods.
Someone who will one day stand at my side at the throne in Castle Locks.
Oh my gods, oh my gods, oh my gods. Justin looked rather pained as he said,
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my...
Say it. Yes. Say it.
I give you my best friend five ever, Sam of Dragons.
The noise I made at that exact moment will not be described in detail here. Suffice it to say, I didn't regret it one bit, even if everyone in my immediate vicinity turned to stare at me as if they couldn't believe such a sound could have come from a human being.
That was amazing,
I said excitedly. I knew he loved me more than anything else in the entire world. He just needed to be coerced into saying it by
ahem,
Justin said, glaring down at me. Sam, if you don't mind. I stared back up at him, confused. Why would I mind? Justin, that was the greatest thing.
You need to give your speech,
Ryan whispered to me.
Oh, right. That,
you know what? I'm good. Thanks, though. Kevin, Justin said.
On it, boss man.
And then the traitorous dragon plucked me up from where I stood.
Boss man, I screeched, outraged. You turncoat! I'm your boss man. Me, Sam of Dragons. Unhand me now, you vile creature.
He's so loud for such a small thing. But as you wish.
He set me down on the stage in front of the crowd of hundreds. Instant stress sweat.
Wow.
I whispered to Justin. Did you know your bowels can loosen almost instantaneously? I didn't know that until right this second.
I said the thing. He growled back at me. Now give me the best speech you've ever given in your life.
I've never given any speech.
Well,
here's a good place to start. Justin, why would you... Where are you going? Are you leaving me up here by myself? Why would you do that to your best friend, Five Eva? You know what? I revoke that title. You are not... Oh, man. I can't do that to you. You'd be crushed.
Never mind, Justin. Never mind. You are still my best friend, Five Eva.
Someone in the crowd coughed. Quite pointedly. Like an asshole. And then something remarkable happened. Ryan Foxhart, the most dashing and immaculate knight commander that had ever existed, started to clap.
Slowly.
In the history of his lifetime, he had never started a slow clap. He thought they were stupid. But here he was, doing it just for me.
I'm going to do you so gross later.
Your asshole
is going to be gaping.
Tiggy, with his bits and bobs still hanging out, picked up on what Ryan was doing and began to clap along with him. Kevin started next. Gary followed by scraping the ground with his front left hoof. My parents joined in. And it was like the dam broke after that. Soon the entire camp was applauding me, even Lady Tina and Vadoma, though they didn't seem to be very enthusiastic. I chalked that up to the fact that I hated them. I now understood why people stood in front of others. I am so powerful, I whispered.
Yes, love me, love me. I raised a hand at the crowd. They roared in response. I raised my other hand. They got even louder.
I did a little shimmy. The cheers got quieter at that. Rude. I could do this. I could do this. Eventually, they fell silent again. All eyes on me.
I swallowed thickly, wishing I could lift my robes to get a good breeze blowing on my nether region, but figured that probably wasn't polite, especially since
I was pretty much freeballing it underneath. Hi, I said.
Good start.
Speak louder,
someone shouted.
I can't hear you, and I wanted to select your every word for truthfulness and validity.
Great. No pressure. How did the king and Justin do this? How did Morgan when he... Morgan. It always came back to Morgan.
It always came back to him, didn't it?
He was where it started, and he was where it had ended. The last these people had seen of me had been the day Morgan of Shadows had been laid to rest. Always him.
I said,
I was just a boy, from the slums. I woke up every day knowing I was loved, knowing I had a roof over my head, even if it leaked sometimes, that I had two people who loved me more than anything in the world. And it was good. It was good because I was taught to be thankful for what I had. But some days were hard. Some days we went to bed hungry. I could hear my mom crying through the wall, my dad telling her that it'd be okay, that as long as we were together, we'd figure it out. Those were the days when I'd lay in my bed, look up through the little window in my room. If I craned my neck just right, I could see the sky and the stars. And I wished sometimes. They weren't anything special, just the wishes of a kid who wanted his mom to be happy and his dad to be healthy. I wished to be someone great one day. But not just for myself. I didn't want it for myself. I wanted it for them because I shook my head. I don't know if wishes work. I don't know if the gods hear them, consider them, discard them, or make them so. If it's a frivolous thing or if it's something we all must do. But I did it anyway, because I was a child who believed the world was a bright and wonderful place. And whether it was my wishes or whether it was the gods themselves, he came for me. He told me that I was meant for something greater, something more, and that I don't know that it mattered what he kept from me, what he knew even before I was born. You've heard of the prophecy. Much has probably been made of it. It's been twisted into something unrecognizable by people who wanted nothing more than to bring me to my knees.
Lady Tina looked down at the table. Vadoma stared straight at me.
I don't like the word destiny because it means I don't have a choice, that my decisions don't matter, that everything I've done in my life has been preordained by higher powers, moving me like a chess piece across a board. That who I am, what I have become, was set in stone long before I was even a conscious thought. Stone, though, it crumbles. A friend taught me that. And Morgan was doing what he thought was right. Maybe it was. Or maybe it wasn't, but it doesn't matter in the end. I was angry with him for a long time for what I thought was a betrayal. But it's different now. Because regardless of his actions, regardless of what he kept from me, I know one thing to be true with all of my heart. Morgan of Shadows loved me. He loved me and wanted nothing more than to keep me safe, much like he loved all of you, much like he loved Varenya. I sniffled as I wiped my eyes. He's gone now, And not because of the actions of anyone here, not because of anything you did, or I did, or... Lady Tina's shoulders were shaking. But because of his brother. The crowd sighed. Because of Randall's cornerstone. They bowed their heads, all except for Justin Orion, who stood side by side, watching me with fierce pride. I took a deep breath. It was Mirren. He took Morgan from me. From us. He took our homes and our towns and our cities. He took our friends and our families. Once he was good and kind. He was loved. But he let himself become mired in shadow and chose a path that led to the darkening of his magic. He was stopped. Once. For a time. But he returned and took and took and took from all of us. And I ran. Everyone was silent. He took Morgan from me. And I couldn't do anything to stop it. I tried. Please. You have to believe me when I say I tried. I have this heart. This lightning-struck heart that beats in my chest. And I would have gladly given it up if it meant Morgan could still be... here, with all of you. That day in that house, Mirren took from all of us, but I could only focus on what he took from me. My cornerstone was terribly wounded. I'd been betrayed by people I didn't expect. Randall was gone, and Morgan was... I ran... Even if it had been expected of me, even if the only way I could have fulfilled my destiny was to enter the dark woods with the dragons of Varenia, I still had a choice. I could have stayed and fought by your side, done what I could to make sure you knew that it would be okay again one day. Maybe if I had stayed, things would be different. We'd be... And the king would still... Movement caught my eye. A man pushing his way through the crowd toward the front, but not to me. And for that, I'm sorry. The people of Camp Halfheart breathed as one. Sorry I left you to deal with this on your own. The king asked me to be his wizard, and I took his hand. A promise made that I did not keep. I should have done more. I should have been better. I should have... Okay, you know what, dude? I can totally see what you're about to do, so you might as well stop right now. I'm being super emotional up here, pouring out my heart and shit, and I'm not in the mood for whatever shenanigans you're about to try. And notice how I said try, because if you take one more step, I'm going to kick your motherfucking ass like you wouldn't believe. The crowd was startled, looking around wildly. The knights tensed in front of the stage. Ryan pulled his sword, and Tiggy cracked his knuckles. Gary started raining glitter, and a curl of smoke twisted up from Kevin's nostrils. The green and gold were there, stronger than ever. The man didn't hesitate. I saw the glitter of a knife as he started running toward Justin. I sighed, even as people began to shout. I raised my hand, palm out, and snapped it closed into a fist. It was done without the use of the ancient tongue. Effortless, really. The ground around the man shifted and broke apart. Rock rising from the earth and wrapping around his arms and legs, even before he could take another step. It was over in a matter of seconds, people shouting out in warning as they moved away from him. Ryan was snarling as he pointed his sword at the man's throat, Justin being pulled away by my parents and surrounded by the knights, their weapons drawn. God damn it. Know how hard that was to be all profound? I mean, I was pouring out my soul on this stage. I don't even like public speaking. And the prince had just called me his best friend forever, and I was going to fucking wreck my boyfriend later, and I was going to be a good night for all of us. Maybe not the time? Ryan said through gritted teeth, the tip of his sword pressing against the soft skin of the would-be assassin's throat. Only the man's head and throat were exposed, the rest of him covered in rock. Right. Not the time. Still, if I ever have to give a rousing speech again, I'm always going to think about how this guy ruined my first time. He's so self-aware, Gary said to Tiki. I taught him that.
Very proud,
Tiki growled, punching a fist into his other hand threateningly.
Mirren knows you've returned.
The man gasped defiantly.
There is nothing you can do to stop him. He's expecting you now. You will not win. The time of the darks has come, and we are...
Ryan sighed.
Did you really have to say that?
God, you all have to know by now how he feels about monologuing, I exclaimed. You just tried to kill the prince, and you're monologuing? Oh my God, I'm going to explode your fucking nipples so hard, you don't even know. You want the floor of Boris Land, motherfucker? Because you got it. Gary, Tiki, hold me back before I kill every part of his body. But you're all the way up on the stage, and we're down here. You know how I feel about stairs, Sam. Beings with four legs shouldn't have to try and navigate stairs. God damn it! Rage momentum ruined. Thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
Everyone, I'm so sorry my speech was ruined. It was going to end awesome, and you were all going to feel bad about turning against me, and then we were all probably going to group hug and stuff, and maybe cry on each other's shoulders. Then I would have said I was on the road to forgiving all of you, or whatever. It would have been totes awesome, and would have gone down in the annals.
I've gone down in your annals.
Kevin, shut up. I'm trying to be serious.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Damn it, now I forgot what I was going to say. Wait, hold on. Group hugs, crying, forgiving, me being wonderful, annals. Okay, and then I would have announced we have a plan, sort of, to take back what's ours and blah, blah, blah. We would have just ended the night in semi-drunken revelry and everything would have been just swell. I glared at the man in stone. But then this guy had to ruin that. Dude, I am not very happy with you right now.
In the name of Mirren,
he shrieked.
We will return for...
I snapped my fingers, and the stone crawled up, covering his mouth. I thought about raising it to his nose, but I didn't.
Okay, I said, clapping my hands. Who's ready to kick some ass and take some names?
I know. I am going to kick some ass. Take... names. Or... whatever. You know what? Doesn't even matter. I'm here, I'm queer, and I'm super pissed off. It's time to take back what's ours.
Yay?
Someone in the audience said. See if I ever try to give a stirring speech again. I muttered. You all suck balls. Chapter 9. Always go to confession before a gangbang.
Yeah, I'm not going in there.
No. I refuse. Absolutely not. Do you need me to say it in Elvish?
God, God, dark faggot.
However their language sounds. I don't know. I can't speak Elvish.
We don't have another choice,
Justin said, sounding annoyed. In a remarkably deeper voice, too, seeing as how I'd magically modified his face and voice, and now he resembled a rotund, balding man who maybe smoked too many cigars. He wasn't very happy with me for that.
The sewers are the only way into the City of Locks. We talked about this. It's part of the plan.
Well, maybe we need a new plan. I retorted. Do you smell that? That is shit. That smell is actual shit. I don't want to walk around in someone else's fecal matter. I already spent a year in the woods having to poop into holes and then cover it up.
That was probably too much information,
Ryan said, stroking his chest-length beard as he was wont to do since I'd grown it for him. His skin was almost as dark as mine now, and while I thought I should have changed him a little more, I couldn't convince myself to get rid of dead ass or dead biceps, so that was as far as it went.
And there are walkways in the sewers. We're not actually going to be walking in anything.
But the smell...
Maybe you should have stayed back at camp with the others since you're so incapable.
Lady Tina said snidely. Or rather, Dark Wizard Tim said, because she was my greatest creation. We decided that only four of us would enter the City of Locks, with the others remaining at Camp Halfheart. Gary, Tiggy, and Kevin hadn't been pleased being left behind, but I couldn't transmogrify them into something that wouldn't give us away. And it seemed easier to keep the number of people involved low, just in case things went sour. I had argued against Justin going, saying he needed to stay with our people, to be the face of the resistance in case something happened to the rest of us. He shut that down instantly. It was his father that we were rescuing, and if I thought he'd stay behind and let the rest of us muck it up, then I was mistaken. He had been rather fiery about the whole thing, and I was impressed.
For almost 30 seconds, because then he wondered aloud if I should be the one to stay behind, given that Mirren had already been informed of my return. I responded that Mirren wouldn't expect me to come to the City of Locks so soon. I didn't really know if that were true, because I didn't really know how Mirren thought, but I tried to put myself in his position. I wouldn't expect me either. Justin just rolled his eyes. But when it was decided that Lady Tina would be the fourth member of our party, both Ryan and Justin in agreement, I did the only thing I could. I made her boyish. Mannish. She was totally a dude. She had a scraggly beard and a terrible bowl haircut, and looked as if she wouldn't be out of place at St. Bernardine's Home for the Criminally Insane and Wayward Adults, a psychiatric facility in one of the lower wards of the City of Locks. She still sounded like Lady Tina, but through the filter of a rough, cracking voice. Also, she had an egregious overbite because I was an asshole and she was my mortal enemy. I looked amazing, of course. My beard was long and luxuriant, my hair settling on my shoulders like the great mane of some fearsome wild creature. I made myself a foot taller and my chest a little bigger and grinned at myself in the mirror at the sight of the new and improved Sam of Dragons. The others weren't very pleased with me. I told them that my magic reacted to how they were on the inside, which was total bullshit. But still, the horrified looks on Justin's and Lady Tina's faces had been so worth it. We were all as dressed down as possible, given that we'd be ditching the clothes after coming out of the sewers. The smell would most likely cling to the fabrics and would be a dead giveaway. Each of us carried a pack with our disguises and assorted weapons. Ryan, Tina, and Justin all had their swords at their sides. The brutish amateurs. But we were virtually unrecognizable, all thanks to me. Which is why I felt that I was well within my rights to not want to wallow in poop. We could just stroll through the front gate, I muttered. It'd be easier, and I wouldn't have to potentially throw up a lot.
I told you, Justin said. Entering the City of Locks now requires identification papers that we don't have. We don't even know what they look like, since they change biweekly, so we couldn't have you forge any. This way, we get into the city undetected.
And what if we're stopped inside? I asked.
I suppose we'll see if any of the time in the woods made you capable of running faster.
Hey, I can run fast. Like, so fast. Do you know how many times I've had to run for my life?
This isn't going to go well,
Lady Tina muttered. Then you can stay behind, I snapped at her.
Sam, Ryan warned.
Sorry. Still not used to standing near her without making plans to punch her in the tit. It's hard to shift my worldview in such a short amount of time.
Try harder,
Justin said, peering down into the sewer grate.
Because it's getting closer to dawn. We need to be holed up in the slums by the time the sun rises, so we can rest for entering the castle later tonight. Nut up, Haversford, and get your ass into the goddamn sewer before I stab you in the throat.
Am I allowed to be turned on by that? I whispered to Ryan.
No.
He whispered back. Crap, okay.
If you two are done whispering sweet nothings to each other, could we please get this grate off now?
Justin asked. Oh, right. That was me. Stand back, I told them. My magic is a powerful thing, and I wouldn't want two-thirds of you caught in the backlash. Lady Tina rolled her eyes as she backed away. I looked up through the trees to see the outline of the City of Locks in the dark, torches flickering along the wall surrounding the city. In the distance, I could see the flags atop Castle Locks waving in the cool breeze. This was as close as I'd been to my city since the night I'd headed into the forest to face the Great White. I was surprised at the lump in my throat at the sight of it, that I could miss a place almost as much as I'd miss the people. But there wasn't time for that now. We had a king to save. I pushed out the barest amounts of green and gold, and the Great crumbled into dust that sloughed to the ground.
Gods,
Justin said quietly.
That... Could you have done that before?
I shrugged. Maybe it's easier to manage now. I could probably always do these things, but it could have easily grown beyond my control. People could have gotten hurt who didn't deserve it.
Ugh,
Ryan said, watching me with heated eyes.
Does that happen every time?
Lady Tina asked Justin.
Yes, and even when we have time for it, it's still awful.
Then you wouldn't mind going first, I said cheerfully, especially since you're all gung-ho about going into the shit tunnels.
You capitalized that, didn't you?
Justin said, peering into the sewer. Sure did. That's how you know it's gonna suck.
Fine,
Justin said, squaring his shoulders.
I'm the Grand Prince of Arrhenia. We are going to save my father, our king. I will lead the way.
Into the shit tunnels, just say it. Say into the shit tunnels.
Into the shit tunnels!
He snapped at me, and then disappeared into the sewer. Lady Tina huffed out an annoyed breath, hitched up her robes, and followed the prince. I whirled on Ryan while we had a moment alone, grabbed him by the back of the neck, and kissed him fiercely. He grunted in surprise, but his mouth opened to me neatly, his tongue in my mouth, hot and slick. I ground my hips against him as his hands found their way to my ass and pulled. I gasped into his mouth as I tightened my grip in his hair.
What was that for?
His eyes hooded and dark. That was for saying no to sex and making sure we get a good night's sleep last night like an asshole. Don't you know anything about dangerous missions? You're supposed to have life-affirming sex before you go. He rolled his eyes. But if the bulge in his trousers meant anything, he was not unaffected.
We're going to be okay. As long as we stick together. You don't go doing anything stupid or half-cocked. Understand?
I scoffed. When have I ever done anything stupid or...
All the time. Like everything you do. It's literally who you are.
I'm not...
Promise me, Sam.
He lost the shine of lust in his eyes. Damn it. He was being serious, and I couldn't blow him or blow him off.
You promise me that you're going to stay by my side?
Yeah. Sure. He jostled me a little.
Sam.
I promise. He searched my face, trying to decide if I was being truthful.
I gave him the old, look how precious Sam is, eyes. And
he nodded slowly. We'll have time. After.
And he kissed me. Swift and sweet. And disappeared into the sewer. Before I followed, I looked up at the night sky above, the stars twinkling brightly. You better take care of them, I said quietly. No matter what, Justin and Ryan, Lady Tina, if you have time, nothing can happen to them, or you won't like what I'll do. I thought maybe David's dragon flashed a little brighter, but it could have just been what I wanted to see. I turned and went into the sewers. And immediately gagged, because, dear gods, what do the darks eat? I moaned, covering my nose and mouth. Their feelings? Ugh. Sweet molasses, this is terrible. It was like getting hit with a wave of spoiled meat and evil. The air was thick and heavy, and I was pretty sure vomiting was an acceptable reaction to our current predicament. The others were similarly affected, breathing shallowly through their mouths. They stood upon a wooden walkway that had been constructed atop a noxious stream of water and many other things I didn't want to think of. The sewer was dark, but we couldn't risk lighting a match or a torch given the gases rising from below us. I snapped my fingers, and a little burst of light exploded above my hand and began to flit around like a fairy. The brick walls and ceiling were wet and dripping, covered in a blackish moss that seemed to grow all around us. I waved my hand toward the darkness ahead, and the light shot forward, leaving a thin trail behind it.
The quicker we move, the faster we'll be out of here,
Lady Tina said. I hated it when she was right, so I ignored her in favor of Ryan. You sure this is the right sewer? The schematics were dense. I couldn't make heads or tails of them.
It's a good thing I could then, huh? Part of my training, making sure I knew every way in and out of the castle.
So glamorous. I can see why you'd want to be a knight. He laughed quietly as he bumped his shoulder against mine.
It has its perks. You notice me, after all.
Gods. I liked it better when Sam wasn't here. At least Ryan acted like a knight, not some lovesick teenager.
You get used to it,
Justin said.
Mostly. Ryan will lead, then me. Sam will be next, and Lady Tina will bring up the rear.
Lady Tina looked startled at that.
Your Majesty, I think I should be the one who's behind you. We don't know what trouble lies ahead.
Before I could retort, how dare she question me, Justin said,
Sam will have my back, just like I know you'll have his. He's my wizard. He'll... Sam, get that look off your face. We are not hugging right now, so don't even think about it.
I'm only agreeing to the no-hugging thing because I'm pretty sure I just saw something that used to be alive floating underneath us, so... Yeah, I'm good with that, but don't think I won't get you later. You called me your wizard again. You adore me. He muttered something I couldn't quite make out, but I assumed as complimentary. Then...
Any more questions? Good.
Let's move.
When one is traipsing through a shit tunnel, in the dark, trying to infiltrate a castle to rescue a king from a group of villains, one has time to reflect upon all that has led them to this moment. I thought maybe this was divine retribution for all the things I'd done wrong, but then I remember that some of the shit could belong to the king, having had to poop into a bucket, and it solidified my resolve, though I would never tell anyone that I'd had such a thought. Well, maybe years and years from now, when we could look back on this whole thing and laugh. The light swooped back and forth in the tunnel as we followed Ryan, first turning left, then right, then straight, then left, and left, and right. I trusted him to know where he was leading us, because I had already gotten mixed up 3 or 4 turns back, and somehow I had gotten used to the smell. At the very least, the bile in my throat was gone, and I could breathe a little deeper. Every now and then, we passed an opening above us, moonlight drifting down and illuminating the path ahead. There was a moment, perhaps an hour later, when I felt something wash over me. Not physically, because there would have been a lot of screaming that followed, but mentally. Like a blast of cool air in my mind that burst through the fog. It took me a minute to realize what it was, and what it meant.
Who? It meant.
We just crossed into the city, I said quietly. Ryan looked back at me.
How do you know that?
I feel it. I felt it. It's Randall and Morgan are scorched into the bones of the city of Locks. Into the wood and stone. Everywhere. Morgan's gone. And Randall's only the gods know where. But their magic is still here. It's dissipated. But I would know it anywhere. I always felt it when I came back from our adventures. I always thought it was just a feeling of being home, but it's them. Even the darks haven't been able to take that away. That's a good thing. A hand squeezed my shoulder as I sighed. Ryan nodded slowly.
That's great. That means we're on the right track.
I narrowed my eyes at him. Why do you sound so relieved? You said you knew where we were going. He shrugged.
It's always good to have validation.
I'm on to you, Foxheart.
Sam, I told you. Not now. I'm obviously busy leading a mission to save the king.
God. That's so hot when you get all night, Commander.
Yeah?
He said, eyeing me up and down.
You like it when I take charge?
Oh, yeah. If we weren't standing in a fog of urine and fecal matter, I'd be all up in your shit. Ryan winced.
I might want to work on the phrasing.
Oh, my gods. Lady Tina moaned. I hate everything.
It totally gets worse.
Justin muttered. Justin, Tina, stop wasting time. I scolded them. Let's get the fuck out of here, then, shall we? We have to be close. The slums weren't that far from the Gate of Locks. They had matching looks of irritation on their faces. It would have been sweet if one of them hadn't been Lady Tina in the skin of a man. But whatever. It took us only a little while longer before Ryan came to a stop next to rusted metal rungs that rose up the wall toward a sewer grate above.
I think this is it,
he said, squinting up. We could see patches of sky beyond the looming buildings, and the stars were fading into a lighter blue. We didn't have much time before the city awoke to whatever it had become now. At the very least, I assumed there would be darks in the streets. We needed to hurry.
You sure?
Justin asked.
I could have sworn that we had a few more turns to go. Pretty sure. I'll go first. Check it out. Stay here.
Don't you dare do anything stupid, Foxheart. I growled at him. If we need to move to the next one, we will. We can double back if we have to. He winked at me like a douchebag. But since I loved his face, I didn't call him on it. He dropped his pack on the wooden walkway and began to climb the ladder. I helped him by groping his ass, under the guise of assisting him up the unsteady rungs. It's so pretty, I sighed.
It really is,
Lady Tina agreed before coughing and shaking her head.
I mean, one would think you could at least control yourself in a sewer, Sam. However, the only thing shocking about this is how not shocked I am.
I was surprised at how easy I acclimated to the smell of the sewers, I said mildly. But then I'd realized I'd been near you for the last day or so, and there's not much of a difference in odors. Also, you look like an ugly man. Before she could reach for her sword and give me justification to Flora Borislam the hell out of her, Justin intervened.
Would you both shut up? We don't have time for petty squabbles.
Yes, my prince,
Lady Tina said, bowing low. Yes, my prince, I mocked under my breath. I looked back up to see that Ryan had reached the sewer grate. His head was bent at an awkward angle as he tried to see around him. Before he attempted to lift the grate and set it aside, we weren't going to disintegrate this one, given that it'd be more noticeable if it was missing. Then an alarming thought hit me. What about the map? Justin glanced at me.
What map?
The elven map in your father's office. Won't that show us coming? As a threat? Justin shook his head.
It doesn't work that way. It only shows villains with malicious intent. If anything, it's probably swarming with darks right now. Even if it showed us, we wouldn't stand out. It's one of the things I wish I could have grabbed when the city fell. But I didn't have time.
I swallowed past a lump in my throat at the thought of what he must have went through while I was gone. It should have been there.
Maybe. Or maybe you did what you were meant to. It doesn't matter now, Sam. What's done is done. The only thing that matters at this very moment is getting to my father.
Before I could respond, Ryan had made his way back down the ladder.
Road looks empty,
he said, wiping his hands on his trousers before picking his pack back up.
And the grate is easy to move.
He smiled quietly at me.
You're not going to believe where we are.
Where?
You'll see. Or you will if you remember. Come on. Sun's coming up. The morning bells will start ringing soon.
I waited a couple of rungs below Ryan while he grunted as he shoved the sewer grate up and over. He climbed up, then turned around and reached down to help me up. I didn't need it, but since I had a chivalry kink, I allowed it and absolutely did not giggle and flutter my eyelashes at him as we stood face to face, my hands upon his shoulders, the corners of his eyes crinkling slightly as he leaned into...
Seriously,
Justin said.
You're doing this now. Now.
I rolled my eyes and stepped away. Ugh, once all of this is said and done, and I've saved Aranya from the clutches of evil, I'm going to find you a boyfriend, so when you have special intimate moments, I will be there to interrupt them like an asshole.
Good luck with that,
he muttered.
Because I don't care about... What's wrong?
I barely heard him. Because I was too busy taking in our surroundings. Where we stood, it was... Holy shit. I whispered.
Told you,
Ryan said, sliding the grate over the sewer again after Lady Tina climbed out.
What is it?
She asked. Then she frowned.
Gods, these are the slums? It's far worse than I ever imagined. And you came from here? No wonder you...
Not the time,
Justin snapped, as she looked sufficiently cowed.
This is...
I started, but couldn't find the words to continue. Ryan came to stand beside me.
I stood just there,
he said near my ear, pointing down the cracked cobblestone road that stretched out before us.
I didn't know why I was so upset to see you walking away with Morgan. I hated you. You were annoying and stupid. I thought I'd be happy to see you go. I told myself I was just angry because you were getting to have a life I would never have, that it was unfair.
But you were just already lusting after me.
You were 11.
Okay, maybe not. Lusting.
You turned back and waved at me. Just once. And then you were gone.
I remember. It was... I shook my head. I don't know what it was. Funny how things turn out. His smile was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Funny how things work out. Are you two finished?
Because we don't have much time.
I glared over my shoulder at him. Excuse me, we're being romantic. It's not as if the morning bells begin to echo over the city.
Shit. We need to move. Now, Sam?
Got it. I know where we are now. You sure it's empty? He nodded, but wouldn't look me in the eye for reasons I didn't understand.
It's empty. Lead the way.
I didn't have time to question him. I moved toward an alley to our left, the others following. It was strange, really, an odd sense of dissonance crawling over me as we made our way through the slums.
Before Mirren rose to power, before Vedoma and my destiny of dragons, I made a point of coming back to the slums as often as I could, if only to remind myself where I'd come from. Ryan never came with me, more inclined to forget the past and focus on the future, but I was okay with that. We were just different that way. The slums looked mostly the same, maybe a little drabber and more run down, but the buildings stood as they always had, their shutters hanging off their hinges, gutters dripping water into the broken cobblestone. It was grimy and dark, and felt more like home than Camp Halfheart ever would. Justin and Ryan had told me that those who had been captured in the city had been relegated to the slums, that it was more like a prison than anything else. No one was allowed out, whether they be rich or poor. All were treated the same here, and well, I thought there was a sort of twisted justice to that. Everyone here was a prisoner. It didn't really matter what they'd thought of me or what they'd done before I disappeared. They were all the same, and they didn't deserve any of this. Candles and torches were lit in windows and doorways as we kept to the shadows, moving through the slums toward our destination where we'd camp out for the day, waiting for dusk before making our way toward the castle. It wasn't long before we exited an alley onto the street where I stopped. Ryan crashed into the back of me. I took a stumbling step forward. He grabbed me by the shoulders, but I couldn't tear my gaze away from the sight before me. There, between two dilapidated buildings, was our little house, the one I'd grown up in. It looked the same as it had the day I left. Yes, I'd come back to the slums often, but I'd never dared come here, sure that it'd undo my wish that had somehow come true. I'd been part of something greater than myself, and I'd been convinced that if I returned here, everything I'd been given would fade away as if it were a dream. This was the first time I'd seen my home since Morgan of Shadows had taken me by the hand and led me to the castle. And yes, the house itself looked the same, but the piles of freshly cut flowers around it were different. The scraps of parchment pinned to the walls and door were different, scrawled with words I couldn't make out. The chalk drawing of a heart with a lightning bolt through it on the ground near the doorway was different. The heart green, the lightning bolt gold. "What is this?" I asked quietly.
"It started a little while after you left," Ryan said, taking my hand in his. "When the dark started to come from the woods." "People prayed here," Justin said, coming to stand on the other side of me. "To the gods. To you, to help them, to believe in them. They came here because they didn't know where else to go. They thought you had forsaken them."
He shook his head.
"And no matter what we said, they couldn't be convinced otherwise. It started with just people from the slums, but then it grew to the other quadrants of the city, and then beyond the city."
"I don't understand."
"You're their hope, Sam. It's as simple as that. And hope can become a weapon when all else seems lost. They've been waiting for you to return. And now you have."
I walked across the street, the others behind me. The doorway to the shack was covered in flowers and notes, and as I read them, I wondered if I deserved such faith and veneration. "Please come back. I hope you're safe, Sam. I'm sorry for what I said about you, wizard. I just didn't understand." "Mirren sucks balls." "My brother is missing. He believed in you more than anything. I don't want to be scared anymore." "Fuck the darks. Sam of Wilds is the best wizard there is. Have heart for life." Happy face, happy face, happy face. And one written in a childish scrawl. "We will always believe in the light." I didn't deserve them, any of them. What if What if I let them down? I asked, staring at the dozens of notes pinned to the door and wall. What if I can't be what they need me to be? It was Lady Tina who said,
You're not alone, Sam. It doesn't just rest upon you. We'll all fight to take it back. And we'll win.
For once, I couldn't think of a single snarky thing to say to her. Ryan stepped over the flowers and pushed the door open. He looked back at me and held out his hand.
You ready?
I hesitated, but only briefly. I took his hand and went inside.
You need to get some sleep,
Ryan said. He was lying on the floor in my old room, head resting on his pack. Sunlight was beginning to filter in through the slats of the shack, and I knew the room would get warm later in the afternoon. I was busy staring at a collection of rocks piled in the corner.
We're going to need to be as fresh as possible.
Just because you can do that freaky thing and fall asleep immediately doesn't mean the rest of us can.
Army training. Learn to sleep wherever and whenever we could.
Yeah, freaky.
Why are you staring at those rocks?
I shrugged. They used to be mine. He squinted up at me.
What?
I collected rocks when I was a kid.
Why?
Because we were poor and there was nothing else I could get for free. And they were pretty, sometimes.
You were a strange kid.
Right, and look at me now. Collect rocks, kids, because one day you'll get to bone a knight and do magic and go on adventures. He laughed.
Maybe refine that message a little before you actually tell children that.
I arched an eyebrow. It's pretty much true.
I think you might be a special case.
Heard that before.
Come here.
I sighed and shoved my pack next to his. He opened his arms as I lay down, my head on his chest. He wrapped his arms around me, holding me close. He kissed my fake hair, and I nuzzled his fake beard. It was nice. Mostly. You're still mad at me. He snorted.
Yeah, but I'm allowed to be. Doesn't change the fact that I've always believed in you. Even when I told myself I didn't.
Leaving you was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
I know. But you did what you thought was right.
Was it?
Time will tell, Sam. But I think so. We'll get through this. I refuse to believe that villains win in the end. They rise, but so do heroes. And we'll fight back until we have nothing left. Because that's who we are.
Fancy yourself a hero, do you?
I am rather dashing and immaculate, in case you didn't know.
I do. Still sort of douchey, though, in case you didn't know.
And in case you didn't know, these walls are very thin and we can hear every word you're saying.
Justin called out irritably from my parents' old bedroom.
It's like they never stop.
Lady Tina moaned.
This is why I shipped Rhystone.
Ryan snorted into my hair. He fell asleep shortly after. I stayed awake for the longest time, watching the sunlight stretch across the wall. Night had fallen by the time we stepped outside the shack again. We'd all changed out of the clothes from the previous day, and were wearing dark wizard robes that the Resistance had gathered over the past few months. They were black and heavy, the material scratchy, but they were thick enough to hide weapons, and coupled with my shaping magic, we looked the part quite fiercely. Ryan went first, making sure the street was clear before signaling the rest of us to follow. Apparently there was a curfew in effect for all residents of the slums, which meant the only people who should have been out on the streets were the Darks themselves.
There was even talk about forcing the people here to build a wall,
Ryan muttered as we crossed the street quickly. Yeah, but let's be honest here. The Darks suck ass. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or how much money you have. I'd rather be with those people than with fucknuts. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or how much money you have. I'd rather be with those people than with fucknuts.
As topical as this is,
Lady Tina said through gritted teeth.
Maybe keep quiet for now. We're not exactly going to be the only ones on the streets.
She was right, of course. I'd never admit that out loud, because she also sucked ass. We kept to the shadows.
because she also sucked ass. We kept to the shadows, moving through the city as quickly and quietly as we could. I was surprised at just how little resistance we met, given that I expected checkpoints on almost every corner. Maybe it was because we knew this city better than the Darks ever could, knew the side streets and the rooftops that would let us move almost undetected. In fact, I was starting to feel a little cocky about everything when...
Stop!
We all froze on the sidewalk.
You there? You four?
We turned slowly. A single dark wizard rushed toward us, robes flapping. He had a pencil-thin mustache over his upper lip. His mouth was twisted into a scowl, his brow furrowed. Great wisps of black hair flew up around his head as he moved. He wore large glasses with thick lenses that made his eyes look huge. He was panting by the time he reached us. He bent over, hands on his knees, gasping for breath. I was about to kick him in the face when he said,
"Oh, where do you think you're going?"
I said,
"Well,"
Ryan said.
"You say..."
Lady Tina said.
"Idiots,"
Justin muttered. Then,
"We're on patrol, of course."
"Oh, right, we had a cover story."
"Yes,"
I said, because I felt the need to help. "That, exactly that.
Patrol, of course."
Justin kicked the back of my legs as a reminder that I was not allowed to speak, given that I couldn't lie for shit.
"Who is your supervisor?"
the Dark demanded. "Merle," I blurted out. Justin groaned behind me.
"Merle,"
the Dark said.
"I don't know any Merle,"
I gasped.
"You don't? Oh my gods, that's awful. He isn't going to like it when we tell him that. No, I expect him to actually be very upset about it, and then he'll probably do some dark wizard things like monologue unnecessarily or kick kittens with big eyes who don't deserve it, because all they want is to have a home of their very own."
The Dark stared at me.
"What?"
I shook my head ruefully.
"How disappointing."
"He kicks kittens?"
"Quite viciously."
I looked away, gazing into the distance, thinking about just how appalling it all was.
"Once he drop-kicked one over the wall, said the next time someone didn't know who he was going to drop-kick them."
The Dark winced.
"He sounds very strict."
"The strictest."
"I had a kitten once."
"Oh, great. Please tell me more."
The Dark sighed.
"He was this scrappy little thing. My pa got him for me. For my birthday. I have issues with my father, you know. Deep-seated issues. It'll probably never get over, but... that day, I thought maybe it was going to be okay. But it turned out it wasn't a kitten at all. You see, I was practically blind at that point. Not yet having been fitted for eyewear. And it turned out my kitten was actually a rat."
That's super sad. Oh, you. There. It's okay.
The Dark shrugged awkwardly.
"Yeah, it really hurt. I still think about it sometimes. Have you ever held a rat?"
"Can't say that I have."
"They don't feel very nice."
"You don't say."
"Yeah.
Well," I said as I clapped my hands, "this has been just swell. You learn things, we learn things, unfortunately. And now we'll continue on our way and you can forget you ever saw us."
"Yes,"
the Dark said.
"That sounds fine. Thank you for listening to me. I should... wait. Why should I forget I ever saw you? Who did you say your supervisor was?"
I wetted my eyes in surprise, looking over his shoulder.
"Oh no, look! There's your father bringing you another rat."
"No, Papa! No!"
the Dark cried as he whirled around. I punched him in the